Lifehouse Church Chesterfield podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is a message delivered to you by Pastor Paul Hollingworth. If you want to know any more information about what we do, please visit our website at www.lifehousechurch.co.uk.
Brilliant. Listen, we need to go on a good journey today, a good journey. It's a significant day for us. If you've not got a seat in church, hey, ask somebody, they'll help you to find a seat. I always get concerned that people have to stand, but standing room in church is good, yes? Standing room only is good. Great to see church full. It's amazing how one word, and I'm looking for everybody's eye contact, how one word can change everything. One word can change everything. Like I'm on about one word. Not a sentence, not a paragraph, not a book, not a novel. I'm on about one word can change everything. It's 10:55 p.m. and the lights are low. The TV is dull. And my voice resounds like this. I say, listen, guys, it's bedtime. Bedtime. It changes everything. It changes everything in our house. I don't know about your house, but there's like every principality and power comes to life within our house at the mention of the word bedtime. Within me, I'm just thinking I need to be in bed by 11. I like to be in bed by 11. You might think I'm square and dull and boring and you stay up later, but I like to be in bed by 11. But the mention of me saying bedtime, it's too early. Dad, you're unfair. This is not kind. Sarah's like, leave me alone. I'm watching this. There's all sorts of things happen, but just the mention of one word changes everything. There's certain words that just change something in our circumstance. A word can make things move, make the whole day different. You see, I'm convinced of this. As we talk about the next steps, the keeping in step with the Spirit, Galatians 5:25 tells us to keep in step with the Spirit. It's a phrase, it's a word in season that comes to us to bring a change to our lives. And this is my, as I wrote notes this week and as I spent time with God and meditated over this word, we cannot afford as a church to move away from the theology, the teaching, that God's word, I'm on about God's word. God's word is the lamp unto our feet. Like we can't move into this, I guess, contemporary Christian where it's about, well, we'll try to see if we can apply God's word. What's my opinions on God's word? How do I feel about this particular section of God's word? Like, we need to understand that God's word, as it tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, and you'll have heard it many times before, God's word wants to be. Because the decision is whether or not I'm going to keep in step. God's word wants to be a lamp unto your feet. You see, when we end up walking down paths that we probably shouldn't go down, if truth be told, I think we have to ask the question, why have I ended up walking down this path? Because God's word wants us to be the lamp to our feet. This is the deal, and by the end of this next 25, 28 minutes, I really believe that we're going to have a breakthrough moment at the end of this service today. I'm speaking it clearly now. We're going to have a breakthrough moment in this service. If you've come today to hopefully just come to church and tick church off your calendar and say, I'm going to go to church every day through the month of January for developing a new habit. Well, listen, God's got more than just your church attendance on his agenda. God wants to see you to break through in praise, in worship, in trust for him. But listen, the danger without a word from God is this. We can easily end up living our Christian lives based on these things, rituals. Nobody said amen, so that's good. Based on rituals, traditions, habits. And can I say, there is a lot of them out there, a lot of Christian myths. We end up living our lives out of habits, traditions, rituals, and myths that are not actually based on God's word being a lamp unto my feet. I say this a lot, and people come back to me and say, well, that'll bring up a lot of arguments, but you can say many things to me about life and opinions, but I want to know, what does the word of God say? On key issues, what does the word of God say to us on the key issues? One of the things that me and Sarah often talk about is the question of why. It's always good to ask why. Like for instance, why do you, have you ever asked the question, why do you go to church? Now, I've got this, God gave me this gift, right? Anybody else got a gift here? Yeah? I know you're judging what my gift is right now. You'd be like, we know what your gift is. You never shut up. God gave me a gift. I told you, see, God gave me insight. And God's given me this ability to have insight. And I know in this room right now, when I say this, why do you go to church? I know there's many different reasons why people are in this building today. It's a good gift to have, yeah? It's not really a gift. The word of God tells me. There's many different reasons why the Pharisees rocked up at different events, because they had to, because they thought they should, they thought it would look good. Somebody told me to go. But like, why do we go to church? Ephesians 5 verse 25 will tell you in the word of God, if you ask the question why of the word of God, it will tell you why. Why do we go to church? Because just as Christ loved the church, Jesus gave his life for the church. And it tells me that church is a priority, Ephesians 5, 25, that we as husbands should love our wives is the context of the scripture, just as Christ loved the church. Why do we worship? Why do we praise? Does anybody know why we worship and praise in this place? See, it's a good question to ask. Why do we do it? Why do we do what we do every week? Psalm 100 says this. Anybody ready for the word of God, yeah? Psalm 100 says this, and you're going to have to like help me out a little. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. Why do we worship? It's he who made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with a mediocrity. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithful continues through all generations. Why do we worship? Because the word of God gives us our why. Because he made us. He's put everything in place. And his love endures forever. Why do we give? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 tells us that each of us should give. Each of us should give. Why do we pray? John 14 verse 13, Jesus himself says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that my Father may be glorified. In context, ask whatever you want in my name and it will be done so that my Father will receive the glory. There's the context of the. Why do we pray? Why do we worship? Why do we give? Why do we go to church? Through God's word, we find our why. I want to help us today to know that it's important to have a word. It's important to know your why. It's important to know your why. People ask the question, how does God speak to us? I think as church, we can, and I say this phrase, contemporary church, 21st century, where we're meant to be modern and we're meant to be up to speed and we're meant to be a little bit more like with it. But actually, I think we can easily forget that God has spoken and revealed all truth already through his word. Listen, you can go to every conference that you will see advertised this year in the Christian market. You can buy every Christian magazine. You can go onto every Christian website. You can listen to every podcast of Stephen Furtick, Brian Houston, and I can name you many, many more people. Carl Lentz, you can listen to all of them. You can go to every meeting in church. But listen, God wants to speak to us every day through his word. And it might get old and it might get tiring to keep hearing it, but listen, God has revealed every bit of truth that you need for your life. Every problem, every issue that you have right now is already being revealed to us, God's way forward. The next step for your life is already being revealed through his word. The problem is we treat it sometimes with a lack of respect. A bit of discontent with, oh God, we've read that before. Give me something new. God, send me to a conference this year and I'll sit on the fourth row back, and during the worship, can you get the main pastor to stop and say, I've got a word for the person sat on the fourth row back, and that'll be a real word this year. Well, God's already revealed his word. Listen, you want to hear from God for your 2020? For the next decade, anybody believing for the next decade to be the best decade of your life, despite the number in years? Listen, God wants to speak to you through his word. If you ignore his word, don't expect God to come and knock on your door with a brand new fresh word. Sounds a bit harsh, eh? But you see, God already gave us instruction. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this. As Dan's instructed us today, how we fight our battles. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, that God's word is sharper. What's it sharper than? Any weapon, any two-edged sword, God's word is sharper. No matter how much you might get, picked on, you might get bullied, you might have irrational thoughts, whatever's happening, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. As a church, we have to be careful that, like in my house, and I always tell you my house, I like you to know what we live like, I guess, but you know, we sit down sometimes and we have meal times, and we always know that we're on to a good week when we have meal and we sit down around 6:30. That is really good going for us to be at a dinner table by 6:30 together, all in the same room. It happens once every now and again. Sarah's thought ahead, and she's such a good lady that she actually thinks we need to make sure the meal will be ready then for 6:30 that day, because we're all in together. And it's usually something like a slow-cooked beef casserole. Anybody saying amen to that this afternoon? We do deliveries. If you send an email in to Lifehouse Church this week, we'll send beef casserole to your house. Depending on whether you double tithe or not. But anyway, there you go. Just thought I'd drop that in. And we get to, there's the mash, and there's the, I'm just trying to help you with your dinner thoughts. There's the mash, there's the roast potatoes, there's the broccoli, there's the cauliflower. Sometimes there's a little bit of cabbage. And then it comes to that point where it's the pour on of the beef casserole. Anybody saying amen? Come on. And it's the big ladle, and the ladle comes out and we pop it on. And then this process happens where I see my children start to do something like a dissection. And they start to remove the mushrooms to the side of the plate, and they remove the onions to the side of the plate. Anybody else in the same category? All of a sudden, on the side of the plate is just this mound of mushrooms and onions. And I'm like, this is beef casserole. But what they're doing is they're separating everything out, and all we're left with is just beef, carrots, and gravy. No longer a casserole. I want to encourage you in your Christian walk, because I'm about to get to them here. But can I encourage you in your Christian walk? Don't separate God from his word. Don't separate it out. Where you say, well, God, I love the experience of worship and church, and I enjoy all that, but, you know, your word, I'm just going to put it onto the side of the plate because it's a little bit offensive at times. Let's not be casserole Christians, eh? That decide to dissect what they like and what they don't like. And God, as long as I can just have carrots and beef with a little gravy with my vegetables, I'm happy. Listen, God says, no, it's beef casserole to eat tonight. Eat it up together. It's called opening his word and living his word out in season and out of season. You see, we're desperate for a word from God, but actually the truth is this, the Bible, and I've said this many times before, the Bible's offensive. Jesus was offensive when he was on earth. He offended so many people with truth. You see, truth hurts. That's what they taught me as a kid. Truth hurts. I think I remember my dad saying it to me once with his finger pointing in my face. See, truth hurts. Truth hurts. And God wants us to have our casserole and eat it. It's called the truth of God's word. We want a word from God, but what happens? What happens? What happens when you get on your knees before God and say, God, for 2020, I want a word for this next decade. And Lord God, would you just give me a fresh word? Do you know what God will do? He'll say, all right, I'll give you a fresh word. Let's turn in the Bible to Jonah chapter 1. Anybody ready to read Jonah chapter 1? I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you from Jonah chapter 1 about a man that had lived his life, sought God, and God gave him a fresh word in season. It says this. It's about a man called Jonah. Some of you will know the story. Anybody know the story of Jonah? It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We all see him lifting his hands to heaven in the meeting. Third song in. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He said this, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach. Brilliant. Preaching opportunity. Come on. I'm happy, Jesus. You're sending me around the world. I'm going to be an international speaker. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Little bit of context. Little bit of context for those drifting. Nineveh is modern day Iraq. Anybody ready for the preaching opportunity? M-O-S-U-L, Mosul, I think we'd pronounce it, is modern day Iraq, where the nation of Nineveh was rebellious, it's full of hate, full of evil. There was masses of ungodly things taking place. And Jonah receives a third song into the service word. I want you to go to Nineveh and preach against it. I'm not sure about you, but I'm not sure I'm pretty excited about the preaching opportunity. If God called me today to go to modern day Iran and go and stand in Iran and preach and speak to the leaders and preach against it. But this was the word of the Lord that came to him in season and out of season. But then a little bit like me and you, and some of you need to holler back to me, all men at this point, because this is, we say our men in agreeing with the word of God. I think this verse, verse 3, we should say our men to it. In all truthfulness. And you've read it on the screen probably behind me. But it says this, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Tarshish was 2,500 miles away. It was in the middle of nowhere. It was the ends of the earth, as the Bible would describe it. Nineveh was 500 miles away. God called him to a journey with his favor, with his blessing, which would only be 500 miles away. But Jonah, and I didn't hear many of you saying amen to this, but Jonah, a little bit like some of us in this room, Jonah ran away. Nobody said amen, but you know, I tried, God. I tried to get honesty. There's a few yes. Come on. When God speaks, what's our response? But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship himself bound for that port. After paying the fare, he paid the price himself. He went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Psalm 139 would be a word that is read in season and out of season. Where can you go to escape your presence, O Lord? See, God's presence is everywhere. You might feel that you're running away from God. You might even use language like, God, I've been running away from you for so long. But listen, there's nowhere that you can escape the presence of God. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. You might feel like you're running away, but listen, God's there in the midst of it. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose, and the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and cried out to his own God, and then they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck, out of the way, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe you'll take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come on, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them. They asked, "What have you done?" They knew that he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied. "It will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come on you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder before them. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, the Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and they threw him, watch this word, they threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights. How many of you remember that story, hey? Anybody remember that story? Nobody ever maybe repeated it to you before. But listen, this whole story is about a man called Jonah who received a word from the Lord. I want to tell you today that my challenge to you today is this. Can you live your life without a word from the Lord? Can you wander through life without a word from the Lord? Listen, living, wandering without a word from the Lord will cause you to wander aimlessly. And like I said a little bit earlier, will probably cause you to live out of tradition, ritual, habit, and maybe even a myth. But actually, I believe this, and this is where I tie it all together, that God wants to speak to you individually, afresh. The next step in a new season is to hear a fresh word from the Lord. A fresh word from the Lord in season. Jonah, a man that you can say many things about him. You can say, well, Jonah, he ran away from God and he did all these other things. But listen, there was one thing about Jonah's life was this. He always had a word from God. No matter what he did, he had a word from God. His relationship was with God, and God spoke to him and trusted him with a word. I know this within this room. There are many people. You've had a word from God. You're living your life based on a moment maybe where God spoke to you. Maybe there's a significant word in your life that you remember that God spoke into your life and you underlined it and you believed it and you trusted it. Is that ever happened to anybody? Has that ever happened to anybody? You got a word, a living word from God? I'm convinced of this, that as a church, as Christians, we need to live with a word. Now the challenge comes with this, we'll say, well, that's all right, but I haven't got a word. Listen. This is a real church because we'll talk the truth. I don't believe that you can wander through your Christian life without a word from God. So go and seek God. Get before him. Rather than doing Veganuary, or I'm not doing any alcohol through January, or I'm not doing this through January, I'm going to go to the gym every day through January, or whatever you're going to do, why not just do this simple act? I just get before God every day through January and February and say, God, I don't want my last decade to be like this decade. Would you speak a new word to me? Would you speak a new word to me? We can mock Jonah. But in reality, how many of us would go? I mean, to be honest, at Christmas time, I just even struggle with a call to go to Meadowhall. Let alone going to Nineveh. I get the call 3 days before Christmas. I see my daughter's eyes. She said to me, "Dad, you know when Christmas is kind of done? Can we go to Meadowhall?" I'm like, "Lord, take me to Tarshish right now." Some of you in here, you know that God's spoken to you in the past. You might not be Jonah. You might not be in the ocean. But I'll tell you this. I could put a few pounds on it. You know the language I'm using. I could put a few pounds on the fact that you've run away. Listen, today is a day to say, "God, I'm going to go back to those words that you've spoken to me." A little bit like you can do in your text messages. When somebody, you go into a friend's party. I remember just over a year ago, I think, at the Casa Hotel, a friend's party. And I said to Sarah, as we pulled up to the party, I said, "You sure you got the time right?" She said, "Yep, it's 7 o'clock. And we walked through the hall to see everybody sat down, eating a meal, enjoying time together. And we stood at the back of the room and everybody said, "Listen, you should have been here for 6 o'clock. I said to Sarah, I said, "You told me 7 o'clock, babe." That makes it better, apparently. "Darling, you told me 7. She goes back through her messages. "Oh, I didn't read to the bottom of the message. It said 6. We were wrong." Hallelujah. I just wonder if you go back to the times that God has spoken to you, you'll actually understand that God was always right. He has given you a word. It's the fact that you've chosen Tarshish over Nineveh. Genesis 1 verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Listen, if God says he will do it, he will do it. If God told you, as we prophesied last Sunday evening in our prayer time, can I encourage you tonight? I'm not really worried about causing problems, I guess, for people in the sense of like breaking into habits. But maybe you have got a rhythm. Maybe tonight break rhythm and just be at church with us at 5 o'clock to say, "God, I'm going to give you an hour of my time and I'm going to wait on you." But you see, last week we prayed and we said this year we're really believing there's some people that the children are away from God. But this year we're believing that the children will return to God. I'm on about, and when I say children, I'm on about children that are maybe 50, 60, 40s, 30s, 20s. I'm not on about 6-year-olds here. I'm on about children that are going to return to God. And this is now that's based on the Bible. It's not a word just, well, it feels all right to say it. It's based on God's word. And God promises that he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. It's a God word that will keep you in a season of struggle. Jonah's responses were this, and I'm closing with this, and then we're going to just go off piece just for the last 5 minutes. Jonah's responses were this, and I want to speak to every single one of you in here. Some of you will say, "Well, I'm beyond the point of making rash decisions like Jonah," but Jonah's response was spontaneity. Spontaneity. There he was, stood in a moment, God speaks to him, God gives him the responsibility that he's probably prayed and looked for in his life, and he made a spontaneous reaction to jump in a boat. Can I just say to some of you today, because I know when you speak the word of God, you speak it in season. And for somebody, this is an in-season moment. You're about to jump into a boat that you don't need to get into. And spontaneity will be an enemy's tool this year to throw you out of step. By well, I've got this, I know, but it's mega important. And if you knew the amount of debt we were in, or if you knew the state of our marriage, or if you knew the way that I felt right now, sat alone, if you knew, spontaneity came to Jonah. And he jumped into a boat, paid his fare, and off he went. Away from God's leading, away from God's guiding. This is the key to spontaneity. When you're feeling like you're going to go to Tarshish in your life and run away from what God has said, the Bible teaches us to take a moment to, and this is an old-fashioned word. Are you ready for an old-school word? See, I'm old-school, new-school. You think I'm all just about doing big songs and it's all about the lights and the smoke and everything else. But I'm more old school than you think, because I'm coming from this point of view. The Bible tells us, Joshua 1 verse 8 tells us this: meditate on my word so that you are careful to do everything written in it. Then, now this is going to cut across a few people. If you meditate on the word of God, on everything written in it, listen, then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then you will be meditate. Wait on God. Build some time into your diary, into your rhythms, your daily rhythms, to wait and meditate on Him. My conviction is this: churches have too many opinionated people in them compared to obedient people. I think we need to change the swing. The swing, the pendulum needs to be swung obedience as opposed to opinion. Spontaneity took him away. He's then caught sleeping. In verse 5, it says that he fell into a deep sleep. I feel like I would want to do this really loudly, but I'd probably get a few frowns off a few of you. So I'm giving you a little bit of warning. God has spoken into your life over the years. And listen, the reality is this. I know this because I've read the Bible. For some of us, we've fallen into a deep sleep. We've in fact put the word from God under our pillow and fell into a deep sleep. And the Bible instructs us for this. With a change in language and a change in voice, the Bible instructs us to wake up. It's time to wake up to everything that God has said in His word, everything that He's promised you in your life. It's time to wake up, O sleeper. The storm comes to wake up Jonah from his sleep. Listen, God will do everything. God will move mountains to wake you up from your sleep, to remind you of the promises that He's spoken into your life, to remind you of the promises in His word, to remind you of the times many that He has individually crafted a way to speak to you. I'm serious. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to wake up to everything that God has for us. And thirdly and finally, it says this. In verse 15, it says, they threw him overboard. I don't know what, if you remember the last time that you went overboard, but it sounds like a moment in Jonah's life that went disastrously wrong, because the men got him and threw him. But actually, if you read scripture, Jonah's words were this: throw me overboard. Jonah said, enough's enough. Throw me overboard into the vast ocean. Overboard is an expression that arises from time. Overboard is an expression that is derived, is taken out of the expression of enthusiasm. To be enthusiastic is to go overboard. Enthusiasm comes from the Greek word entheos, which means to being God. Enthusiasm is to be in God. To go overboard is to be in God. This church, one of its core values is enthusiasm. Enthusio, to be in God. You see, the very moment that we read scripture and we see in Jonah, verse 15, it says they threw him overboard. Listen, it was the moment that changed everything in Jonah's life. He was on a journey to Tarshish. He'd been asleep and God had awoken him from his sleep to remind him of the word. And the only way through this storm that you're in right now, through the storms that you will face in the coming months, through the storms that are ahead of us in this next decade, is to go overboard. I'm putting a marker down today. This church is a church that will always, always, always go overboard in pursuit of Jesus. We will always go overboard in pursuit of Jesus. Paul and Silas went overboard as they were chained up in prison. They went overboard in ecstatic praise of Jesus. And then the chains fell. Listen to what it says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says this. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God's grace as you go overboard for him. God's grace as you go overboard for him will come back to you a second time. It's coming back to you a second time as you go overboard in praise to him. Come on, let's stand to our feet across this place, this auditorium right now. With every little bit of gusto that you have, every little bit of energy, because right now I'm into overboard motion. I'm into overboard. Anybody else into overboard motion right now? I just wonder if we can just lift our hands to heaven right now and just begin to praise Jesus together. I know that you're in a storm. I know that you maybe feel like this is not the most appropriate time, but I want to tell you the next step involves a moment like Jonah to say, God, I remember your word. God, I remember the words that you've spoken to me over the years. And right now, I wake myself up in this moment. I wake myself up in this moment. Come on, God's reminding you. If I asked you now and said, what was those words that God has spoken to you? Come on, as you remember, just lift your hands to heaven to him. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found this helpful, insightful, encouraging. If you want to keep up to date with what's going on at Lifehouse Church, you could also follow us on our social media page, which you'll be able to find on our website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk.